mentioning that you had to open your purses and they would be searched.
They glanced. Going out, definitely. Oh, definitely going out. Going in? I think so. If you probably check with other women, people, if they say going in, no, maybe not. No, seems like they didn't. Mm-hmm. But definitely, definitely going out, that I remember definitely.
Uh-huh. And did they, did you feel, you were saying that you felt like you would never find your way?
Oh, yeah. My way to where I worked. And, but, you know, you find out. You follow somebody else who's probably lost, you know. No, at the first, I don't mean that I one, two, three, I just caught on. But eventually you go up this aisle. If it's not there, you'll go back, you know. But I learned where the restroom was right away, of course. And then there was a cafeteria. So in time, I got my way around.
Did you, were there many other women working at the plant?
Oh, very many. Lots of them. Lots of them.
Did the men give you any reaction to being there?
In what way?
I mean, in terms of a woman working in their area?
Or? If they did, I never felt it. I really, thinking about it compared to others, I was just an assembler. Mm-hmm. You know, when I say just an assembler, I had, which was, I guess, low on the totem pole as far as other jobs. So what man probably would want to be an assembler, at least for very long. However, talking to the lead men, there was a lead man and a certain kind of lead man, and then there was a supervisor, you know, so many big chiefs here. I never felt any reaction. Only time I went to the office to complain, to say I was going to put in a grievance, I would say maybe that was a reaction towards a woman, mm-hmm. thinking about it. But no, in fact, I thought maybe the men enjoyed having the women there.
Mm-hmm. Was the supervision, were they men?
Yes, mm-hmm. I had men.
Uh-huh. Say in your immediate work area, but what was the ratio of women?
Well, definitely 2-1. 3-1, maybe. Because I worked I can't remember now, they would say one big part of the wing or part of the plane, and there couldn't have been too many, too many people were not necessary to be around there, maybe 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they kind of left you alone, you go from this one to that one over there. But, And if my immediately work, where I was working, I would say maybe 2 or 3 the most sometimes, women. But it seemed like once in a while there was a man would come in and we'd work with him, and then he'd be gone somewhere, go somewhere else. And I think later on I've seen or heard there were some women lead ladies, but I was never in contact with them. It was always men. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, the men were doing the supervising, in my experience.
How did they seem to save the women or the men? Seem to feel that you being there as a newcomer, did you?
They didn't mind. I didn't see why they would.
Uh-huh. Just work right in, or
was it? Well, same. Yeah, I worked right in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they probably just typically have their job, uh-huh. as I was. You know, I can't remember how long. Some of the men that I did talk to some of the lead men. I talked to some of the lead men, you know, socially, breaks, lunch. You know, one thing, the way I look at things now, that I was young, and those lead men, too, were young, too. So we had a lot in common. I don't mean just me, the young women. We were able to, we were talking with our peers, our peers, our age group. So we had that in common. So as far as I was concerned, I felt like one of them, not in the same position, but like I can talk almost at their level. except for the type of work, you know, about the work. But it seemed like they didn't mind. Maybe if I was very old, they might have shown some reaction. Maybe if I was colored, I don't know. I didn't see I sense the Jewish part sometimes with women, but not with men. Maybe because some of the men were Jewish, I don't know. But most of the women, I never met a Jewish woman there, Jewish girl there. But maybe if I was colored, I might have felt the reaction with the men. But I was young and white, and I didn't. And I wasn't beautiful. There were a lot of girls were beautiful, gorgeous. But I wasn't ugly either, so, you know, so why, I never felt anything but nice, you know, nice feeling from them.
Were there any minority workers in your
area? Well, I was asked that. There was some black, I can't remember many, but there were some. Of course, there weren't any Japanese, we know that. There might have been some, there were some Mexicans. Through the years I've worked in another plant, there were some Mexicans.
That, the first day that you were working there in the, do you remember how you felt during those first few hours about the work?
Well, of course, even though I tried to do my best, and I think I did, well, doesn't always show on the outside. But of course, I was nervous. Always, to this day, I'm afraid. I feel nervous the first day in the new job. Maybe the second day, the third. Until all of a sudden, all of a sudden you feel comfortable.
Uh-huh. Did that happen with you there? That you reached a point where you felt comfortable?
Oh, definitely there. Definitely there.
Mm-hmm.
Now it wouldn't take me that long. Within it would, but overall, I must on the outside it didn't show probably.
Did you get breaks?
Oh, yes, we got breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the law allowed, I don't remember what it was, we got breaks.
Uh-huh. What would you do on a break?
We probably went to the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
Talk, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Did you have the lunch time? Do you remember how much time they gave you?
Well, I can't remember whether it was a half an hour or an hour. It seemed like it was plenty of time. Maybe it might have been an hour. I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
But it seemed to be enough time. Well, maybe it's always never enough time. But I don't remember thinking there wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it was an hour, but that you probably could check with the others.
Uh-huh. Did they have a cafeteria?
Seemed like they did. I remembered more at when I worked at night. I remember not a cafeteria, but it was they had like stands or something. There were places that you can buy food. Now I can't remember whether it's cafeteria or not. And that it was that's probably I would say yes maybe. We even had entertainment once a couple of times at the cafeteria or the outside, where a lot of people stayed outside and ate. Sometimes, I know when I worked nights, they had the, you ever hear of Alvino Ray?
Uh-huh.
Well, I worked nights, I remember definitely when I was working at night, we were sitting outside, and he performed. And sometimes they would have, it seemed like even during the day, when I worked days, I don't know if they had it all the time, it was a regular thing, but they had speakers about the war effort and probably politicians in those days, I wasn't even conscious of who's, I mean, except for the Washington, I wasn't conscious of who's councilman or who's this or that. I really wasn't. So there were well-known speakers, I would say, talking to us while we were sitting there eating.
Now, at the end of the first day, did you feel tired?
Oh, yes, I was tired. I was on my feet all day. That's it. I was on my feet.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I was tired.
Uh-huh. Was that in the work you had done, that was some of the more physical?
I would say that, my arms hurt a little bit. because I sort of had to raise my arm, even though I was standing, so because you don't drill this way. I didn't, anyhow. So my arms hurt a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And my feet, my legs hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. I had to get used to, as time went on, to stand up.
Now, you started out on the ship working on the wings, and then how long did you stay at that job?
Oh, I don't know. Probably till I worked on nights. And then I was on a wing. I was on the bigger wing. I think I was on the B-24 when I started out. B-24? I think it was B-24. Oh, I think it was a... It wasn't, I didn't, I'm sorry, I didn't start out with the wings, I'm sorry. I started out with bomb, we were working on the bomb doors, something to do with the bomb, there was drilling on that B-24, I'm pretty sure that was the number. I guess you can find out from Lockheed what planes they had on those years.
Uh-huh.
But, and around the bomb doors is what I was working on, but where they did a lot of riveting. And then when I went to work at night, I worked on the B-17, the big wing. I even had to go down inside sometimes and to buck, you know, on the corner of the. Well, it didn't look like this, but sometimes the wing was wide and of course it narrowed down, and we had to go inside somebody to hold that thing to buck a rivet while somebody was pushing a rivet in.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, not right away, but eventually they asked me if I wanted to go down there with others. And I wasn't the only one there, sometimes two people at one time. But that was I was on the wing when I went to work at night,
mm-hmm.
B-17 wing.
Now, how long after you worked there was it that you switched to night shift?
Oh. It might have been months. It might have been after the summer, because it seemed like when we used to sit out at night when I worked. Oh, amen. Well, all I can say was months. I know it seemed like we were sitting out at night outside, but around lunch hour was so nice. It was nice enough to sit outside. Because even in the winter time, it's that way sometimes. But it was months, and I did that because of I started to do that because I decided to leave my husband, I had to figure out about taking care of my son. Oh no. No, that's wrong. That happened, but I can't remember when.
Did you ask to change shifts?
I asked to change because it was... it has something to do with Mrs. Bell. I think for a while she wasn't going to take care of my son. Eventually her daughter did. So I had to think about taking care of my son during the day. I didn't leave him yet. I'm telling you, I wish I remember. It seemed like I left my husband and I moved across the street to where Mrs. Bell lived, and I just took a room, and I could keep him there at night, but of course I couldn't keep him there during the day, but I was working, so she still had him. And then about 2 weeks, I went back to my husband, back to that apartment, and then we got an apartment. And I can't remember why. Maybe Mrs. Bell, for some reason, wasn't going to do it anymore. So I didn't have a babysitter. So then I had to work nights. So it was a matter of months, I think. I can't tell you exactly how many months. So I had to go on nights because I figured I had to watch my son most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was there to sort of take care of him while I sleep.
Uh-huh.
You know. And... And I stayed there until I left my husband for good.
Uh-huh. Was that during the war?
Well, that was during the war. Uh-huh. That was during the war.
And do you remember what year it was that you left him?
Well, it must have been around the... That's been 43, something like 40. Must be around 43, because I was living in that. I was living in that. It was a court apartment, and I left him from there.
Uh-huh.
I still worked nights. It must have been 43 because I got my divorce around 44, and I worked in graveyard, and I left. I took my son, and a bunch of suitcases, and I had cousins in the. L.A., but it's the west side. Where is it? It's around, know where Adams Boulevard is. It's all black now. And Adams, between La Brea and, what's La Brea? Not before La Brea. Well, from where I am, in this side of La Brea, it's not between La Brea and Crenshaw. Well, anyhow, it's, La Brea is Hawthorne. Well, I don't know what part of town you'd call that, see. And my cousins, through my ex-husband, I think I told you about this couple, ever. They always said that anytime you were ready to leave Al, you come here. So when that's it. So I went to a lawyer and talked to a lawyer, and he said, well, you know, if you really mean all that, I mean, there's more to it than that, but then he said, leave your husband. So he didn't tell me to do it, but he told me what, you know, how to go about doing it. So I traipsed across town, because I wasn't driving, to my cousins. And
carrying the suitcases and everything?
With suitcases, little boy, because he was a baby, but I had about 3 suitcases, you know. It was awkward, but still. And that was around 43, and I was still working nights. And my cousin took care of my son while I was working nights.
What had finally made you decide to leave him?
Because he wasn't a husband. He wasn't mean to me as far as physically mean. Because I learned to hate him. A way, I don't know if the word was hate, but I didn't have any respect for him. I also felt that I deserved more. That was the main thing. If I loved him, I would probably have still been with him. Because when you love someone, I guess, you know, you just somehow, I don't say I know, but I would have stayed with him long, let me put it that way. But when I lost all, I didn't believe him anymore. And I didn't love him anymore. When I couldn't stand him touching me, I knew I didn't love him anymore. And then I thought that, like my mother used to say, don't have any more children, you know. That is why, well, she made me think. But I felt I deserved more. So I got out.
Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds like kind of a change from before. You were telling me that he sort of made most...
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah, that's right. But you see, I went to work, and... like I said, I went to work in that factory, and you asked me if I turned the money over to him. I don't remember, probably did. But I didn't make that much. And I made more in aircraft, but you know, I knew what I was getting every single week there in aircraft, where in the factory, even though I didn't make that much, I still didn't know what I was getting. I had to make at least $16 a week, and I probably made maybe 20 or something like that. If I made 16, if I was a Mexican, they'd have kept me, and they'd have paid me under the table, which they did with the others. So that I know for a fact they did there, I was told. But if I made $17 a week, I don't think they'd have wanted me somehow. I think they, even then they can take advantage of me, the Mexicans or whatever, but me, they probably wouldn't. Not me, but others like me probably. I must have made around 20-ish, something like that. But in the aircraft, somehow, when I worked for Lockheed Air, I was getting smarter that if I had, I knew that I couldn't depend on him for money. That's not the money part, because he didn't hold jobs, but the paying of the bills. So I started to hold on to my, I paid the woman, I paid the babysitter. And I don't mean that I never, I don't know whether I gave him any money. I didn't keep it from him. It just, all I know is that I handled money when I worked for big aircraft because I had to. I made sure that Mrs. Bell got her money. I made sure our rent was always paid on time. And I made sure that what we had, as far as I could with my paycheck. My paycheck didn't support. He worked and he lost jobs. One time he had, when I was still in that apartment before I left, and he was, see what he did there, not very long. I was working, when I left him for about 2 weeks, and it seemed like I was still, I don't remember if I told you, but it seemed like I was working nights then. Because one night I was outside, we were having lunch, and who do I see walking across there with my husband?
At Lockheed.
He got, and I know you just can't, walk in there. And he got a job there. And he went there, we talked, and I wouldn't, I was embarrassed. Well, I was talking to some women, and I was kind of embarrassed to introduce him as my husband. It's like being surprised, but I did. I don't know what they thought. But I would, if it was somewhere else, I would, as much as I could, give him hell, you know. What the hell are you doing here? But we talked, I was outside, and I asked him what he was doing there. He said, I got a job working here. I want to be near you. He said, I want to talk to you. I want to make sure you're going to be with me and all that. And I don't know what I said.
And this this is during that 2-week period?
That's during that 2-week period.
He shows up where you were.
He showed up. I was surprised. Well, I wouldn't say because he worked there, because I didn't work with him. And he didn't work there very long. But I did go back to him. That helped me. And I still care for him a little bit. Not very much. But I said, well, maybe this will help, the separation. Well, as soon as I went back to him, and then we got that apartment I told you. And sort of down the street, in fact, with a court. He didn't work there. I don't never know whether he quit or he was fired. He got on easily, probably, and I don't know what he did, but he figured that he could talk to me that way, alone, he thought, I live right across from my Mrs. Bell, so maybe he thought that I couldn't, it was I rented a room, so you just couldn't bring anybody in, you know, so I guess he figured that he'd have a good chance to talk to me where there are strangers, you know, where he could. So, we had that court, and he was working somewhere else. I don't know where it was. And it was before Christmas, and we really, I think he was supposed to bring home $70 a week. $70 a week? No, that was too much. $70, I can't remember whether 1 week or 2 weeks or whatever. So I know it was $70. And we needed the money, and we weren't starving, but I was looking forward to that money, you know, with my whatever we were going to get or do with it. Rent and all that, and he came home with a Lionel, instead of money, he came home with a Lionel train set. Now, he did love my son, and sometimes I think back, if that was the worst thing he ever did, I might have forgiven him, but I don't know whether I yelled or not. I can't remember how I acted in a way. Oh, he was mad. I was angry. And I can see him say, well, yeah, but, you know, it was a goodbye, and I want to get something for Alan. And of course, I was saying, yes, but, you know, not to use this money. He was, I don't know, maybe somebody, he married later on. There was a woman, and she died, and I heard she was a wonderful woman, bore him 3 children. I wasn't the type to, little by little, you hurt me little by little, takes me a while, little by little, I'm through. And that's the way I am with people, too. And I think that's the way it was with him. And when I left him, I knew, I was glad I didn't leave when my mother wanted me to. And I was positive. And I, to this day, I did the right thing, as far as I was concerned. He just disgusted me with no integrity, no sense, no, he wasn't honest, you know, lied to beat the band, And yet he wasn't a mean person. He was kind, you know, wouldn't hurt you. Mm-hmm. Generous, very generous. What if he had anything? Wasn't, you know, he had good qualities. Uh-huh. But I wanted, the good qualities were not more than the bad qualities as far as I was concerned.
Now, when you moved, did you move? You stayed with your friends and your cousin.
My cousin. My cousin.
Oh, okay. So this was your cousin.
Well, but through it was her, my ex-husband's, was his cousin, they were, and her husband. So
his own cousin.
That's right. Yeah. But they were very. I became very close to them. Uh huh. We became close.
Oh, I see. So you moved in with them, and I was just trying to remember the entire. They were. So it was his cousins who had said, if you're ever ready to leave,
that's fine.
Come over here. Mm. And she watched your son, and you continued to work at the night?
Uh-huh. Of course, I was up during the day, too, you know.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Then, you'd worked when you switched to the night shift. That's hard to say.
Yeah.
Switched to the night shift. Mm-hmm. You started working on wings?
I was working on, yeah. B-17 wing, yeah. Uh-huh.
Was there anything different that you were doing with that work? Or you mentioned having to crawl in, and you talked about bucking. Had you had to buck at the other job?
Yeah, I always, when they taught you how to rivet, they taught you how to buck rivets, too. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of drilling. It seemed like I did more drilling than the other. But it seemed like they were like I learned how to patch. I didn't know the planes were full of patches, but you learn how to put it, there were some. Well, if you drilled the hole was too big or something, and a regular rivet wouldn't go the rivet would be too small for that hole. In other words, the hole would be too small for the rivet. Well. You sort of had to learn how to patch it, you know, it didn't hurt the plane, you know, but you had to fill that area. So I wouldn't say it was that difficult, but you couldn't just cut off a piece. You had to know just where to put it and how, you know, so you learn a little bit how to patch, uh-huh. repair or whatever. It isn't just, you know.
Uh-huh.
Overall, we had to put pieces together too, so we can drill and put rivets. A lot of pieces were already drilled. Some of them, or there were marks for drilling, you know. And there were different size rivets, you know.
So you, was that the first time you used the rivet gun?
No, I used a rivet in the other one, too. Uh-huh. Seemed like I did more riveting at the wing, because it was bigger before you even finished. In fact, swing... And the graveyard, probably the day too, had worked on the same thing, the same one. I don't know, half the time, I was working on the same wing. I can't remember. I probably knew, but I don't remember how long it was before we get onto another wing.